Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to read a few verses here this morning, this wonderful, wonderful chapter, as we are reminded in these verses that Satan has a devious, devilish plan to attack and to distort and to try to defeat God's people. Now, he's called the God of this world. And it's not that we should be afraid of him. In fact, we're going to read, the Bible says we should resist him. But we need to understand that we do have an enemy. And our enemy is spoken of in three ways: the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we really have a threefold enemy that is contrary to the Christian. And I'll be honest with you, never in my entire life and ministry have I seen such an onslaught, an attack upon God's people as we're seeing today in various ways, and so we want to look at some things this morning about Satan's desires. Here in 1 Peter chapter number 5, we're going to begin reading. 1 Peter chapter number 5, the Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's inheritance, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Did you put your humility on this morning? Amen. That would be a good title for some cologne. Amen. And we should certainly put on humility. We should be. But the Bible says, "For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And then verse 9 says, "Whom resist steadfastly in the faith." You say, "Well, I'll just whip the devil on my own." No, you won't, my brother. No, you won't. You absolutely won't. The Bible says we're to resist him in the faith. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the power of the Spirit of God as it works in us and equips us and strengthens us in our faith. "Whom resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Well, Peter's writings, or we'll say the Holy Spirit's writings through Peter, begins by talking to pastors and those that are taking leadership in preaching and teaching the Word of God to the flock, giving them some stern warnings and some instructions about their behavior and about their attitude. They're not to be little lords. They're not to be little tyrants, but they're to serve humbly. They're to serve sincerely. They're to serve, what the Bible says, a ready mind, not just simply for earthly gain, but for the glory of God. and that they, the under shepherds are to care for the flock and to lead the flock by example. And what a challenge that is, of course, to preachers and pastors to do that. And then the promise of a crown of glory, the Bible says, that fadeth not away. Hey, the Lord said there'll be a reward at the end of the trail. Amen? There'll be a reward for one's service unto the Lord. But then the scripture switches a little bit and says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And then it says, all of you be subject one to another, clothed in humility. For God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. And continues on with that humility phrase. And then that powerful verse of casting our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. And then verse 8 is where I want us to land for a little bit. Just to park the bus and to take a look at verse 8 for a little while. Because I believe that the onslaught of the devil is happening in a great way today. I believe he is tearing loose everything that's not battened down. He is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, trying to discourage, trying to defeat, and in many ways, he is accomplishing that feat. I think he's working on the operation of fear in the minds of a lot of people. A lot of people are operating not by faith in our day, they're operating by fear. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many people told me, now, preacher, I'd be there, but you know, this COVID thing. But then you turn around and see them in a crowd on a Facebook post. Or you'll see them out to a crowded restaurant gathering together. I'll tell you, that stuff just don't float with me. It gets under my craw and bothers me a whole lot. I'm telling you, there's a reason why people are not in the house of God. And the devil is having heyday with God's people today. He's having his way in a lot of lives today. And so many are defeated. So many are discouraged. So many have excuses and reasons why they're not serving God or serving the Lord or being faithful anymore. And they feel like they have a legitimate excuse. But that's all it is. That's all it is. You know, we read in these verses that our Lord Jesus, that he suffered. He suffered. Did you see that? Verse 1. Peter says, I was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Our Lord did suffer. He didn't have an easy road. Brother, I'm telling you, they asked him, said, Lord, we want to see where you live. And he said, I'll tell you, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was telling that potential follower, you want to follow me? It won't be easy. It won't be comfortable. It won't be convenient if you want to walk in my shoes and live the life that I'm presenting unto my followers. Peter understood what it meant to suffer. And then he mentioned in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while. After you've suffered a while, there's no promise of a smooth sailing for the child of God. Now, we'd like it to be that way. I mean, we are creatures of comfort, are we not? Hey, is the air okay? Is your seat okay? I mean, does the floor feel comfortable to your feet? Are we not creatures of comfort? Is the light okay in here? Is everybody okay? Amen. I mean, it's just how we're wired. I mean, that's just the way we are in our generation. I mean, old timers knew what it was to sit through a service and just say, praise God, preacher, just preach on. Amen. While the sweat rode down the preacher's face and sweat rode down the congregant's face, and they fought the bees and fought the flies and just fought everything else off, but they worshiped the Lord together. Now we drive in a comfortable car and we make it to a comfortable building and we've got everything at our ease and convenient and we still can't come to church. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too wet, it's too late, it's too early. I mean, on and on and on and go. The service is too early, the service is too late. Preacher preaches too short, preacher preaches too long. I mean, I've seemed like I've heard it all. I've heard it all, but I'm telling you, it's nothing but the God of this world having his way in so many people's lives, and they're not doing what the Bible says in verse 9, whom the Bible says resists steadfastly in the faith. I'll tell you, there's a fight against the God of this world. And brother, we need to engage in that fight. We don't need to give in to the wants of the flesh, the weakness of the flesh. We don't need to give in to the desires of this world and what this world wants to put us in. I told you the other day, and it still gripes me to the core, of a young man who went to a counselor, and he wasn't a Christian counselor by no means, but this, they were talking about church, and this counselor said to this young man, church is overrated. Church is overrated and very unnecessary. Now that's the word from the world. That's advice from the world. I mean, that's what they think. But I'm afraid a lot of God's people are taking that advice. Aren't you? I mean, hey, and it's not just happening here. I mean, my preacher friends are telling me all across the country. They're telling me in different states across this nation that it's happening in Bible preaching churches, that people who used to serve the Lord, who used to worship the Lord, are AWL. I mean, they're AWOL today. They're gone. What happened to them? Something got a hold of them. And I don't think it was the Spirit of God. Do you? Well, listen, Satan has desires. You can read about that in Job chapter 2, where Satan is enabled to present himself there with the sons of God. You say, do you understand all that? No, I don't, but I believe it. There he was. I mean, God rolls back the curtains and lets us see into the other world, and there's Satan. I mean, he's just walking to and fro throughout the earth, accusing this one and accusing that one, having havoc and destruction in this world. God says, what about Job? He says, you've got him all hedged in. I can't get to him. But you let that hedge down. You let some horrible things begin to happen to him, and he'll curse you to your face. And we have the book of Job of Satan's work. You say, what would the devil do to me if God let the hedge down? Read about Job. Read about Job. That would be you. That'd be me. He's in the knockout business. He's in the business of trying to knock out and to destroy. What about this? What about his work? The Bible tells us here in verse 8 that we're to be sober. We're to be sober. The scripture warned us that in the last days that there would be a famine. Not of bread, or not of water, but there would be a famine of hearing the word of God. We're there. We're in it. The famine's on. Of the famine of hearing the word of God. Our ears have been stopped up. We've tuned to a different channel. We're not listening to the Lord anymore. We're not really interested in what God has to say. Oh, we all know all about that church stuff. We've already heard that stuff, you know. We don't need any word from the Lord. So our ears have been tuned out to what God is saying to us. You hear that phrase repeated to the church. It's in the Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. We've lost our hearing. The Bible tells us to be sober. To be sober. We're a medicated society. I mean, we're medicated, over-medicated. The danger of that is that we lose our soberness. That being able to hear and to think, to reason. You know, God is reasonable. I was reading that the other day, and I may do something with it, but the Lord says in Isaiah, the Lord said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He's a reasonable God. He's a reasonable God that wants to reason with us. But so many in their insanity, and so many in their stupor and drunkenness, they have no thought or ideal about reasoning with God. Be sober, the Bible says, verse 8. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. That means on your toes watching. Because your adversary, hey, he's the enemy. He's the enemy. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, we get mad at flesh and blood, don't we? We do. We get aggravated. We get upset at flesh and blood. But that's not our enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. spiritual wickedness in high places. There's where the battle is. There's where the battle is. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. As a roaring lion. He's roaring. Roaring. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says in the last days they'll begin to cry peace and safety. We're hearing a lot about safety. Oh, gotta be safe. Gotta be safe. We've safened ourselves till we're just about to die. When they begin to cry, peace and safety. But look out, the end's about to come. You ever think about that? Gotta be safe, gotta stay safe. Be careful. Oh, watch out. As if God's dead. Can God not take care of us anymore in a pandemic? Can he not provide for it? Can he not hold off that thing? Amen. Say, well, what if I get sick and die? Is that so bad? You're saved. What are we afraid of? What is God's people afraid of today? Oh, listen, that roaring lion. That roaring lion. Boy, you hear the hair stands up on the back of your neck. You hear that roaring lion. And people, what's he doing? Instilling fear. Instilling fear. Oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if that happens? That shouldn't be our concern. I mean, my goodness, what's happened to the courage of the Christian? What's happened to the valor of God's people? The devil walking about as a roaring lion. What's he doing? Seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for that stray. He's looking for that one that's not watchful. He's looking for that one that's careless. He's looking for that one maybe that's prideful. Pride cometh before the fall, haughty spirit before destruction. Oh, that'll never happen to me. Look out. Look out. Look out, friend. I tell you, he don't play fair. He never has played fair, and he still don't play fair. Now, we're not totally helpless. I mean, we're not just fragile little frail things that just, you know, waiting to be devoured of the devil. That's not us. Brothers and sisters, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm talking about Christ in the Christian. The Holy Spirit of God is well able to equip us and enable us to stand and not fall. That's why the Bible says to resist steadfast. Steadfast. In the faith. Our faith should be strong and strengthened for the glory of God. Now listen, we all know about the story of Peter, where the Lord told Peter, said, Peter, listen, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith will fail not. Listen, that's just a little insight to what the devil would like to do to every one of us. Destroy our faith. Discourage us. You know what? You naturally sift wheat. Right? I mean, you're cleaning it. You're getting all the chaff out of it. You naturally say, well, why would the devil want to sift him like wheat? Don't you naturally sift wheat? Yeah. The ideal is that Satan wants to expose your chaff and discourage you. Satan wants to magnify all the wrong and weakness in your life to try to defeat you. God wants to do that to reveal the strength part of you, the good part of you, the weak part of you. But the devil means it for evil. God means it for good. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to follow? You going to listen to his lies? You going to listen to his discouragement? You going to listen to his whispering that you can't make it, you can't stand, you might as well give up, you might as well quit? The voice of Job's wife curse God and die. I mean, that's just give up and just get out. Job, you cannot do this anymore. Hey, that's the voice of the devil. Let me try to give you something here quickly, if that's possible. Satan, walking about, seeking whom he may destroy, some of his tactics is this thing of division. Division. You know that he actually came to Eve when she was away from her husband? He came to Eve. He pitched the big lie to her. You remember that? He uses division. He uses division. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, the Holy Spirit, scorns the church at Corinth because of their division. So divided. And the Lord reminds us in Mark chapter 3, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. You know what's troubling in our world? Now think about this. Think about how divided just Bible-believing Christians that believe like you and I, yet how divided really we really are. I mean, we're so divided. Think about it. No fellowship, no real communication, no strength together as God's people. There's such fracturing, such division amongst God's people. You say, where'd all that come from? I'll tell you, it comes from the devil. It comes from the devil. Now, I'm not talking about compromising truth, you know. Let's get together just to get together for the sake of, you know, getting together. No. I'm talking about just those that believe right and just being together as God's people. It's hard enough for just one congregation to have sweet harmony. The devil loves division. And you read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Where they say, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Christ. You know, boy, they're just so divided. And the Holy Spirit says to them, baloney, you're carnal, you're babies. Quit being divided like a bunch of babies. You know, balling up in your corner and say, I'm going to take my bat and go home and play my own game. The Lord said, don't do that. Oh, listen, the power of unity. Jesus prayed for it in his high priestly prayer. He prayed, Father, that they'll be one as we are one. You realize what our nation would look like if all of God's people. Now, I'm not talking about those that say they are. I'm talking about God's people would put their hearts and their minds and their work together for the glory of God. What a force we'd be to reckon with. Now, that used to kind of be that way in this country. But now we have this great division. This great division. We're divided by carnality. We're divided by our conversation. And I'm using that really not even our lifestyle, but our speech. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, I want you to speak the same thing, not to be divided, but to be speaking the same thing. 1 Corinthians 1:10. That our goal should be Christ, that we're exalting him and lifting him up and glorifying him for the glory of God. The devil works through division. He divides and conquers. We are divided because of carnality. We're divided by our conversation. We're divided by our lack of consecration, for sure. The Bible says, can two walk together except to be agreed? Hard to do. Impossible. Oh, friend, how we need to be united for the glory of God. The devil works by dividing. The devil also works by trying to destroy the Scripture. And I think he's doing a very good job at it. He's up to the same old tricks, you know. In Genesis, he says to Eve, he said, yea, hath God said? He put a question mark. He put a question mark where God put a period. God said, amen. But the devil said, oh yeah, did God say that? Big question mark. And now we have all these versions out there. I mean, just he Bible, she Bible. I mean, you name it. All kinds of versions. There's no end to it. It's a bottomless pit. And so many different things are being said. I mean, it just blows your mind. You thought when this thing first started, I mean, will it ever quit? And it doesn't quit. They just keep rewriting it and rewriting it and rewriting it and diluting it. Do you notice that? It always gets diluted, leaving out things like the blood, leaving out things like his lordship. I mean, just little by little, the Bible's being picked apart, destroyed. I say the Bible, Scripture. I think we have the Bible, amen, the King James Bible. And I'm not going to let go of this Bible. Amen. I'm going to hang on to it. But the devil's been busy destroying the Scriptures. Think about it. How'd you like to be a lost person out there trying to get saved, wanting to know the truth, and you got all these different versions, all these different beliefs, and you say, what's what? I mean, how are you going to know? I said, who started all that? I'll tell you, the devil did. The devil, he's a master at it. He's a master of destroying, trying to destroy. But by the way, God's word will never be destroyed. Amen. The Bible says his word settled in heaven. I mean, he said it, it's settled, that's it. And thank God he gave it to us. Because the Lord said, our Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, if we're going to do what he said to do, we've got to have what he said. Amen. We've got to have his word. Amen. The devil works by dividing. The devil works by distorting the Scripture. The devil works by defeating the servant of the Lord. He tries to defeat us. We mentioned Peter, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. We see it there. He was trying to destroy Peter. I mean, he did his best, his worst, throated old Peter. And Peter did deny that he knew the Lord. Amen. And my goodness, sometimes we do fall. Sometimes we do slip up. But thank God, the Lord lifted him back up, strengthened him. And we see the devil sifting. You know, the Bible talks about the devil's snares in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In fact, let's just turn there. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Scripture again is warning us over and over and telling us of these dangers, these traps, these snares. And people put these things out to catch animals, but the devil puts them out too to catch God's people. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible warns about his snares. Look with me in verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall in reproach and the snare of the devil. Now again, this is talking about the man of God, but there's application here to even God's people, that we must have a good report of them which is out. That's our testimony. That's what others know of us outside the church walls. The Bible says, lest we fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. You realize the devil is setting a snare for your feet? He's setting a trap for your feet? We've got to be watchful. That's why the Bible says we're to be watchful. That's why the Bible says we're to be sober and not step into those snares. The devil works by trying to defeat God's people. You remember the parable of the sower, when the sower went out and he sowed the seed, and that seed fell on different types of soil. But there was that seed that fell by the wayside. You remember that? And the Bible says the fowls of the air came and began to devour that seed. And the disciples later said, Lord, said, tell us about that parable. We're intrigued about that parable. And the Lord began to explain to them what that parable was teaching. And it's interesting that he likened those fowls to the wicked one, that's Satan. He said, no, it's just like the devil. He works just like those old birds that consume that seed that's laying there by the wayside. Those birds come along and they take that seed. He said, that's just like those that hear the word of God, but then the devil comes and snatches it away. The devil comes and snatches that seed away. Now, brothers and sisters, I believe the old devil's still at work about that. He's still in the business of snatching that seed away, lest it find good soil and produce fruit. Amen? That's called being a forgetful hearer. That's called not being a careful hearer and receiver of the Word of God, but just being a casual observer. Say, what did the preacher preach about today? I don't know. I've already forgot. Did you get anything? No, we just left. Amen. We all made a decision. We all just decided to leave. What happens to us? We don't hear the Word of God. The devil snatches away. Have you ever been in a service and just really trying to concentrate and something comes to your mind that you think you need to do and what you're going to do next week and something you did last week and boy, something will just come. What's happening? That seed just being snatched. The fowls of the air coming, just snatching that seed and taking it away. Or did you ever find out how sleepy you get in church? I mean, you just get, oh man. You're like Eutychus up in that window. You just get so sleepy, just like Eutychus. And the birds of the air just snatching that seed, just taking the seeds away, and that so that you don't hear it, that you don't receive it, you don't get any good out of it. It's seed that fell by the wayside. Said, what happened there? The devil's trying to defeat God's people. You needed that word to strengthen you this week. God had a message for you to help you and strengthen you through the week as you were out there in the world. But the devil stole that seed. You were not a careful hearer. You didn't receive it. It wasn't planted in good soil. And so you go out unprotected. You go out weak. You go out with a dull sword. And the devil has his way of discouraging and defeating. And listen, the devil's ultimate hope, the devil's ultimate aim is to damn the sinners. You know, he cannot have the soul of a saved person. Thank God for that. If you're saved, you're saved forever. But the truth is, you need to make sure you're saved and not have some false hope. But the Bible says that the God of this world hath blinded the mind. Now, that's the devil. He's blinded the minds of them that don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine unto them and they'll get saved by that gospel. How does the devil blind someone's eyes? By causing them to believe a lie. By relying upon some false profession. By relying upon one's own good works. By relying upon some religious ceremony. And they continue in that lie. The devil's goal is that sinners will be ultimately damned to hell. You know, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Men love darkness rather than light. The devil's in the business of keeping them in the dark. Keeping them without the truth of God's word. Keeping them without the light of the gospel. He also uses, not only does he use darkness, but he uses delay. God says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. But the devil says, later. Later. I'll take care of that later. I'll hear you at a more convenient time. That's the devil. But God says now. God says today. The urgency. Well, again, Peter said, be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom he may devour. God help us to obey verse 9. Whom resist steadfastly in the faith. Now, brother, the Bible is not mincing words when it says we need to be strong in our faith. Amen? We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The devil's looking for that weakness. The devil's looking for that straggler. The devil's looking for that one that's just casual about their faith. And he begins his attack. And you know what? He'll give you all kinds of excuses. He will. You know what I believe? I've seen this happen some time and time again. If you're kind of looking for an excuse to get out of church, you'll find one. The devil will make sure you find one. If you're looking for one, he'll make sure you got one. Amen? Sure. The devil's desires. I'm glad God's greater, aren't you? This is not a message of no hope. It's a message of warning. With the Lord, there's hope. With the Lord, there's strength. Be strong in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand in the evil day. Hey, we're living in that right now. It's upon us. God help us. Let's pray. Father, oh dear Lord, how we need you. Lord, strengthen us in our faith, our resolve. God, help us to have our mind, our heart fixed upon you. Lord, I pray we'd have the courage and the faith to stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, I pray we'd not give in to the wants of the flesh, the weakness of the flesh, the desires of the world. God, help us to be men and women of faith and courage. Bless, we pray, this time of examination. Search our hearts, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name.